Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, The Great Invocation, Part 2. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The great invocation belongs to no one individual or group. It belongs to all of humanity. Tens of thousands of people of goodwill throughout the world are using it every day. No one can use this invocation or prayer for illumination and love without causing powerful changes in his own attitudes and life intention. Now, last week, we were talking about the Great Invocation, and as I mentioned, it was part one, and we'd like to go forward and continue that. So, Sarah and Dale, why don't you just
jump right in?
Pick up where we left off give us more ideas about the Great Invocation.
Yes, we were talking about the Great Invocation line by line and stanza by stanza. The Great Invocation's first stanza is an appeal for light. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. And the second stanza, which we discussed last week, from the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. One thing that we should clarify as we resume our discussion is that there is a slightly different wording between the adapted wording of the Great Invocation, which always closes the Inner Sight broadcasts every week, and the original wording. And in the third stanza, which we're going to discuss today, again, there's a slight difference. Our listeners will know it as, from the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. The original wording says, from the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. Men, as we said, means, from the Sanskrit, manas, one who thinks. All of us are thinking entities, so men is inclusive, but the adapted wording is for those who feel that the gender-specific wording is inappropriate. Onward from that, the invocation of the will is a powerful expression of human responsibility, wouldn't you say?
It's an invocation to for the little wills of men, our own particular wills. Each of us has this factor of will, and this is one thing that God has not taken away from us. We all have our own free will, but it has to be brought to a point of recognizing that there is a greater intention to that will than our own little wants and desires. We are here for a very specific purpose of helping God to bring forth His plan into the world. And so as we've talked about love and light as two of the energies that are most needed in the world, also there is a need, as it says in this stanza, for a certain degree of human will to bring forth this plan. And because it won't come forth unless there is a strength and a sense of determination in the human mind, in the human kingdom, in humanity itself, to finally bring forth these energies and manifest these qualities on Earth as it's meant to be.
I often think of an image of gears meshing when I say this stanza. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, as if our little will is a small gear that has to come into synchronicity with the greater gears of the plan, and then things can really move forward. But it's interesting, in the West, and I think especially in a country like America, the idea of human will, human free will, is seen so much in terms of individual rights and freedom, the freedom to be and do whatever one chooses, and that is a divine right. But the great invocation is invoking the will to engage in something much greater than one's own little life. And in this sense, the will is very closely aligned with an act of sacrifice.
Right. It's an invocation to synchronize our little wills with the greater will of God. And getting back to your image of the wheels, the gears, I mean, two gears spinning will mesh together when they are spinning at the same speed. And otherwise, otherwise there'll
thanks
be a,
to the Army.
Otherwise there'll be a clashing. It was Air Force. So there'll be a clashing and a grinding of gears, and that's what happens when they don't mesh together at the same speed at the same time. So in a sense, it's kind of like that. There needs to be this sense of purpose, and understanding that every human being has a divine purpose that is also incorporated in the divine will of God. So this is what this stanza in the Great Invocation is attempting to invoke, that energy of the greater will, so that we will begin to understand that there is a greater purpose behind our little wills.
Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think it was, mm-hmm. made that declaration, that appeal, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And yet, for most of us, no matter how much our inner spiritual faith responds to Christ's submission to the will of God, we really want our will to be realized. I think we want our will to be an expression of the good, but it's still our will, what we think is best, what we believe would be most useful to develop in our lives, those circumstances that would best serve our purpose. And we can convince ourselves that our purpose is only to the good, and that might be true, but it's still keeping the energy of the will bound up within our own limited, circumscribed view of the universe and the potential we have to serve the plan of God. To release our will into a real trust in God's plan to work through us is very difficult.
And one of the expressions of that will that is working through us now is the expression of goodwill. Goodwill is like the lower reflection of the higher will of God, and it's the human's, it's humanity's, the ability, the amount of will that we can muster at this time comes out as goodwill, which is goodwill is love and expression, mm-hmm. and it is the applying of goodwill in the world to building right human relations that is really at stake here, and that is really what's behind this stanza of the Great Invocation.
I think we can make it relevant to people if they were to choose a particular situation or relationship which they want to be better, but they don't know what to do. They've tried everything and nothing seems to work, and they know that the relationship or the situation is not right, but they simply have not a clue how to improve it. Try goodwill. Try approaching the person or the situation or the circumstances simply with an attitude of goodwill, of love toward all parties. Not necessarily a personality, warm and fuzzy feeling, but genuine love of one human being for others, simply because they are human and created by the One Father. That expression of goodwill somehow clears a path for new things to flow, new possibilities, new approaches, new insights. It's quite magical, and that is an expression, as you say, of will and of purpose and of power. It's not a passive, benign, but kind of weak force at all. It's a mobilizing energy.
And it says also in that stanza, the will of God is known. Let purpose guide the little wills of men. We don't know specifically what is the great purpose behind the will of God. That's an inscrutable kind of layer of understanding that we just haven't arrived at yet. But we can begin to see some sense of purpose if we try to understand that there is this plan of God working out. God has a plan in mind. Behind that plan, there is a greater purpose, which is probably related to the purpose of the solar system. These are all related factions and energies, fields. And so if we can broaden our own sense of will and sense of purpose, then we begin there again to begin to synchronize with that great gear of God, if you will.
We also synchronize at that moment with the purpose which the masters know and serve. That's a reference to the spiritual hierarchy, the elder brothers, the kingdom of souls who guide and guard the evolution of our planet, but who must work through human beings because they cannot and would not override human will. They work by engaging human will. And as we become agents of cooperation with the masters, our little part is augmented a hundredfold by the power that flows through the great ones like the masters. So we are putting ourselves in a line of energy flow when we dedicate our little will to the greater will of God that can move mountains and work miracles.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to The Great Invocation, Part 2. Available at no charge from the Lucis Trust, absolutely for free, are two pamphlets on The Great Invocation, plus a beautiful four-color bookmark with The Great Invocation written on it. So that's a very nice gift. And the pamphlets go into detail about the meaning and significance of The Great Invocation, and answer many questions that you might have. So in order to get your gift, all you have to do is give us a call. It's absolutely no charge, not even a shipping charge. Just call up and ask for it. Call up 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Or you can call 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website, so you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. once again, to order a package of general information or to contact for us for any reason, including giving you the gift that we offered today, call us at 1-866-695-8247. Donations are very much appreciated. That's what keeps us on the air, your tax-deductible donations. So please help us out. We really need your help. Send your donations, check or money order to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I was thinking, with humanity's tendency sometimes towards disharmony, disrespect, violence, why is it that the hierarchy doesn't want to override our will? I'd love to see them override humanity's will.
Please, please do. I am not sure. I think that's one of the great mysteries of life, that the human will, muddled as it is, wrongly oriented as it often is, has to somehow be the responsibility of the individual human being. I think it has to do with the divinity that resides within an individual person. We're not just a mass or a herd. Humanity has reached the stage of evolution where every atom, every cell, meaning every individual human being, has to become responsible and a cooperating unit in something much greater. If we are all one, and if the whole entire manifested universe is the expression of one life, then there is no separation, and that would imply that there can't be any opposition of human will and divine will. We all have to be engaged. And the idea of overriding human will sort of sounds as if we're beyond rescue, beyond salvation, and there'd have to be an intervention. But the idea of there being an utter unity behind the outer manifested world means that we are capable of coming in line. And gradually, I think we are. Human beings are becoming more and more responsible. And that's the next stanza of the Great Invocation that is such a powerful one. It says, from the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let the plan of love and light work out through the human race.
Yes, because humanity is kind of the middle stage in the long process of the evolution on this planet. And everything below of the lower kingdoms, the animal kingdom, the vegetable, and the mineral kingdom, are all moving towards humanity, and that's kind of their goal for those units of life and consciousness to become human. And in the long, long process of evolution, they eventually will, those units of consciousness, units of light. And so humanity has a unique position here as a mediator to work at bringing forth the plan, because everything has to come through humanity.
The great question mark.
Mm-hmm. And the plan has to work out through human beings and through human actions. And you mentioned about the will. Why we still have free will? Why doesn't God just come down and show us how to do the work, this plan out, and do it for us? Well, I think millions of years ago, it was decided that human beings, in order to develop this will, this capacity to develop our own will, they had to give us free will. The spiritual hierarchy could not, from henceforth then, could not interfere with human actions. And so we have muddled along, we've made all kinds of mistakes and made horrendous mistakes, but we're learning from it.
And eventually we'll be a real powerhouse of cooperation.
Right, because we have to develop the sensitivity that will eventually manifest this love and light in the world. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, it will seal the door where evil dwells.
And that has to do with the center humanity and its role in the plan. We speak of three planetary centers on Earth: humanity, hierarchy, and Shambhala. Shambhala is the center for purpose and will, the directing center. Hierarchy is the center of love, of unification, inclusiveness, and wisdom. Humanity is the center of intelligence. The whole principle of intelligence is anchored in the human level of evolution, and that's why man means thinking entity, one who thinks. Our job, our task is to think, to register mentally the plan of God, and then to transmit that plan through our efforts, through our work, in a way that will foster the evolution of the lower kingdoms. I think that's why the concept of Earth stewardship that is really taking fire these days, thanks to real servers like Al Gore and others, is so important. When we see our impact on the world and the harm we've done, that's part of the awakening process.
Yes, and it's part of the awakening process, and that's what will eventually help us to seal, as it says, to seal the door where evil dwells.
Mm-hmm.
Evil is not, in this case, it is not some evil entity we're talking about. It is simply, basically, it's human selfishness, and
mm-hmm.
it's human separativeness, and the attitudes of hatred that keep us in the dark, that keep us bound to this material world, and keep the light from shining forth through us. And it's once the soul begins to take control of the human beings, and the light and love of the soul begins to pour through that human being, that whole will shift, and evil will simply be driven back, because it will no longer be of any use to us.
I think this sense that human beings are associated with something evil, something that's really gone wrong, goes back to the dawn of time, the story of Adam and Eve and the fall, I think, and of the Greek myth of Prometheus and the gods who acted up and often acted so badly are myths and parables and tales of a sense that we have erred as a species, but we don't really quite know how or why. And gradually, the planet itself is demonstrating to us, giving us a picture of our selfishness in the effect of the warming of the ice caps, the loss of whole species, the starvation of a large portion of the world's population due to increasing desertification and so on. This is just making it utterly apparent that something has been interrupted by human selfishness.
Yes, and this is one of the lessons that we are learning, that human will is given its way. It often, too often, will express itself in selfish actions, and this is what happens. We can see it.
But the idea that we had to learn to develop the spiritual will by being given free will, even though we would misuse it and use it for selfish purposes, to me that expresses an incredible amount of trust on the part of the creative energies that brought the worlds into being. We wouldn't have been given that will if we weren't capable of using it rightly. And I find tremendous hope in that. More and more we see how people are coming together in groups and working to alleviate situations that in past times would have been left to the church, to government, to God to fix. Now more and more people realize if they want change, it has to start with them. And quite often they do so by forming groups.
And then there's the last line of the Great Invocation, let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. And in there, that's kind of the, the wrapping up of what is really needed. And the interesting word here is restore the plan.
As if something had been lost.
And I think that was the case, but it goes back millions of years. We got off track way back, perhaps in Atlantean times.
Well, isn't the ageless wisdom view that the hierarchy of masters then in those ancient times lived on earth and governed the world, and human beings were responsive to those leaders, but they were also without free will and self-determination? The human mind hadn't been awakened enough.
No, but there was a tremendous amount of selfishness, because the little self was beginning to awaken, and it didn't have the sufficient love to balance out the lower mind, and selfishness took over, and so we had the great tragedy of the flood of Atlantis.
Which is a pretty understandable metaphor for the overwhelming power of the emotions. The emotions are associated with water, and the worlds were flooded to show how dominant human emotion and desire had become.
And that's why we have to get back on track now, and that's why it says to restore the plan, because the plan at that time got off track, and it was delayed by human selfishness and greed.
So as we close this broadcast and the great invocation is aired, everyone can listen to it and think about how it offers insight into ways we can cooperate with God's intention for the world and the part that humanity is meant to play in the unfolding plan.
Available at no charge from the Lucis Trust, absolutely free, our gift to you, two pamphlets on the Great Invocation, plus a beautiful four-color bookmark with the Great Invocation written on it. The pamphlets go into detail about the meaning and significance of the Great Invocation and answer many questions that you might have. Give us a call at 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS or 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.